So the opposite of the seven deadly sins. We took back in September, as I said, the seven deadly sins, and now the seven cardinal virtues. The early church took some of those virtues from what they had been studying, because many of those early church fathers, before they were converted, some of them were professors, some of them were people who taught, like Augustine was a tutor, had a group of disciples and so on, and he was teaching Greek philosophy and so on. And the philosophers already had worked out some of the things that are virtues, and these are four of them: wisdom, courage, temperance, and justice. Now, you say, what? From Greek philosophy. Yeah, but the problem is that when we find truth, it's God's truth. All truth is God's truth, no matter who finds it and who claims it or who notices it first. But the church fathers wanted to add the specific three virtues that are the highest in the church, in our Christian faith, that are primary to Christianity, and that's faith, hope, and love. And so that together makes seven. And the list starts with wisdom. Well, man's essential need for wisdom is best illustrated by the question in the Shorter Catechism, and that question is, what is the chief end of man? What is man's purpose? Why are we here? And the answer to that is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Wisdom deals with the purpose and the importance of life and of living well. And that's what we're going to see as we open up this text. Now, this text personifies wisdom. It has wisdom sort of like a lady. And she's standing up and she's calling out to humanity and desiring to give herself to humanity so that humanity can have wisdom. And this can happen only because of one thing. We were built with the capacity to have wisdom. We were built with the capacity to learn, the ability to learn. And our capacity for wisdom is given to us by God to lead us back to God. To lead us back to God. And if this is true, if wisdom and its capacity and us having the capacity for wisdom was to lead us back to God, how come some people fail when they are pursuing wisdom? They fail to find God. Well, number one, our capacity for wisdom can serve other ideals than just the ideal of God and God's will in our lives. People choose different ideals in life and things that they think are the most important. And then, from those ideals come goals. And people are trying to get to those goals in their lives. And wisdom can sort of be drafted in to help us to meet those goals, whatever the goals are, to try to help us to get to those things. For example, I want to be rich. That's my ideal. I want to be rich. Okay, that person says that. Well, okay, what would wisdom say to help you get there? Well, first of all, get a lucrative job. Don't get just a McDonald's job or flipping hamburgers or what. No, get a good job that you can actually work your way up. Or get a job that you can work lots of overtime and you get double time and a half on holidays, you know, to make more money. Then, you want to say yes when the overtime comes and put it away. Save it. And then invest it. And be thrifty in your spending. And all these things are ways of wisdom if you're trying to meet that goal. Another example. And that's not necessarily a good one all the time, but it's a lot of you have done it. And it's good. Because you're here at Escaton. And it takes some money to stay at Escaton. Okay, here's another example, though. I want to be healthy. Okay. What is wisdom to help you be healthy? Wisdom is eat the right food. Get some exercise on a routine way. And then get the right amount of relaxation and rest. Sleep at night. You know, you don't want to cut yourself short on sleep. Take vitamins. You know, I've been reading a book about getting into the sunshine. It's called The Healing Sun, written by a British fellow, and it's really revealing. It really exposes you to the truth, exposes you to the sun, exposes you to the light. But and you'll be seeing me getting more tan. And am I afraid of skin cancer? Not necessarily. I might help myself stop with that. But anyway, all these things of wisdom that we can gather around to help us be healthy, that will help us to get to the goal we have set. Now, here's the problem. We can actually choose the wrong ideal, or we can take okay ideals that are sort of low-level ideals, and we can set them as the supreme ideal. And then what happens is that we have displaced God, and those ideals, in a sense, become our God. That's very, very dangerous. Then what happens to wisdom? Wisdom becomes relative to those ideals and to the goals that are trying to be met. And it is not absolute wisdom, and it changes from person to person. This is not the kind of wisdom that, or this is not the reason God gave us this capacity for wisdom, so that, but He wants us to use our wisdom, and wisdom works in all these areas, but He wants our wisdom to lead us back to God. Now, the ultimate question that we can ask of all of these ideals, to scrutinize these ideals and their goals, is the question, why? For instance, we'll take, I want to be rich. I want to get rich. I want to get rich. Why? So I can live comfortably. Why? Well, because living comfortably is good for me. Okay? Why? Why is it good? Why? And pretty soon, the person cannot get to an ultimate that has a definite answer. It's only my opinion at a point in life. Or it's public opinion. But it's not an ultimate. Public opinion changes, so it becomes relative. And this is the other way to test it. Here's another question. Now, this might be asked of a Christian who is trying to get rich, okay? Let's ask this question. Now, I want to get rich. Why? So I can give more money to the needy. Now, John Wesley did this. He said, make as much as you can, save as much as you can, and give as much as you can. Okay, so that's a legitimate thing for gaining richness. So I can give to the needy. Why? Because I want to glorify God. Why? Because that's why all of us are here in the first place. There's your final answer, and it's the supreme answer. It is solid. And really, all of the why questions to all of our ideals will push us to a point that's a dead end unless we have chosen the first and highest ideal, and then all those other ideals become subordinate to that one ideal of pleasing God and serving God and enjoying God forever in the first place. That's the point that wisdom makes. Getting us back to the first place. That's the whole point of wisdom. To draw us, to lead us, and to push us toward what should be first in our lives, what should be primary in our minds. And the Bible, if the Bible, as it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then our capacity for wisdom can lead us back to God. If we have that as our basis, our ideal, the fear of the Lord, honoring Him. So how does this? How do we do this? How do we learn wisdom? Wisdom is learned in a variety of ways. And I just want to read this text again because it is so beautiful. It's a very good poetry. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates leading to the city. At the entrances, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Now, you see this picture of wisdom trying to find where the men go. They're on the way. I'm going to get to the heights so I can be heard. I want to stand at the entrance of the city. I want to get where the crossroads are, where people meet. And you see, there's a variety of ways that wisdom makes herself known. And so wisdom and this capacity for us to have wisdom can come in a variety of ways. Now, one of these ways is that wisdom is received through precept, through statements, through law, through principles. Now, we have a great love for these. That's why we love to sing hymns. You know, hymns are like poetry. They're very pithy sometimes. They carry a whole sermon in one line of the song, of the hymn. And that's why people can actually preach a sermon series to some of these older hymns. But our love for short, pithy maxims and aphorisms and quotes and poetry, little short poems that just say so much. Short essays that have memorable statements of wisdom in a concise way that we can carry it, or we can remember it so we can say it to others. One of the things that Edward Thorndike, who died in 1949, said, colors fade, temples crumble, empires fall, but wise words endure. And that's true. I've got this collection at home. I think it was put together by one of the grandsons of Jonathan Edwards. It's a big, big book on quotes. So you know where I get a lot of my quotes out of this book on quotes. It's just a wonderful, wonderful book. But God has given us a whole book of pithy statements. And many times, this resource that we have in the Bible, in fact, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon's Solomon, those areas are called the wisdom literature. Scholars have named that part of the Bible the wisdom literature. And secular people quote. You've seen this sometimes when you've been reading a novel or something, and somebody quotes from the Bible. They quote these things because it has wisdom in it. And that's good. But for us, it's essential wisdom to feed our faith. To feed our faith. Joshua said this: do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember, wisdom is what helps you get and stay on the way that gets you to your goal. And our goal is to glorify God and to enjoy Him to ever. So wisdom is going to put us on that pathway that will lead us to our goal of experiencing God and making God glorified. Now, another way that wisdom is received or gained is by experience. Someone has said, wisdom is the ornament of old age. Well, you know, why is that true? Well, it takes so long and so many years of experience to gather enough wisdom to adorn yourself. So wisdom is the ornament of old age. Now, it doesn't have to be just personal practice or personal experience. My father, he's not here today. I wish he could hear this quote. Maybe if he listens to the sermon on the tape, he will. A good way to get wisdom, is what my dad said, is to watch how other people make mistakes and then don't do it. But that's really a lot older than I knew. I thought that came from my dad, you know, kids when they grew up. But there was an ancient saying by Publius Sirius. He's the guy that wrote the quote, Rolling Stone Gathers No Moss. He has a lot of quotes. But Publius Sirius in the first century said, from the errors of others, a wise man corrects his own. We need sometimes to be very watchful of the experience of others. But truly, many times, wisdom does not come except through personal experience. Personal experience becomes essential for the reception of true understanding. I often tell people, this camp that Rosemary and I and our kids go to called CFO Camp, I could tell you all about it, but you're never going to understand unless you come there and go to camp. And then you'll say, oh, that's why you can't tell anybody about it. They have to experience it. And it's sort of like that. Well, this is the same way that precepts can actually tell us a lot about Jesus. But if we really want to know Him, we have to have a personal relationship, our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And our parents can help us to be raised in the right way and the knowledge about Jesus, but we really need to know Him personally. And then there's another way And this is the best way that wisdom is learned. The best way that wisdom is learned. And that is by imitation. It's by imitating others. Now, humans are born imitators. From the time little children are just little times, you watch little children. From the time they're little, they begin to imitate. That's how they learn all their things. They imitate us. They imitate our speech until they can talk. You know, it's amazing. They're great, great imitators. So that makes it very important to choose our relationships carefully. Now, we can't choose our parents. And some poor kids have to be healed of toxic family situations that they were raised in before they can get along in life. Or they need to overcome some of those things, learn how to cope with some of the things they had in those relationships. You can't choose your parents, but many times we can choose our relationships. And we need to choose our relationships with those that we imitate carefully. And it's one of the things in Proverbs. He who walks, in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So we need to choose our relationships carefully, and that is why God has called us to come together. The idea of a church is a called out assembly, an assembly and a coming together. And that's why God has us together as Christians. And we need to spend more time with each other as Christians during the week. A devotional of great influence in my life in the past and in many, many Christians' lives has been The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. And it's a very powerful book. And the reason it's so powerful is because it points to our ultimate relationship with wisdom in Christ. In Christ. 1 Corinthians 30, chapter 1, verse 30 says, "It is because of Him, because of God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." And one of the names of Christ is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. I've referred to this before. E. Stanley Jones, the devotional that I'm going through this year, is called "The Word Became Flesh." And again and again in this devotional, he repeats this idea that there are various communications of wisdom that come to us through words, through philosophy, through precepts, and they are helpful in pointing us to God, but they fall short in this one thing. They are not the Word become flesh. And that's what we really, really need. The Word become Word can be just intellectual. It's not necessarily a relationship. But what we need is a relationship with a person. And the Word become flesh speaks to us of the wisdom that became flesh. A person. Wisdom lived out in human form for us to see, for us in front of humanity in our history. And wisdom that could literally call to us and say, "Follow me. Imitate me. Follow the way that I've taken." And that's how Jesus did. Long ago, compasses on ships were not very accurate because the ships had iron hulls. And sometimes these compasses would go weird directions and not point the right direction. And so what they had to do was to lift them up on top of the ship. And it's many times like our hearts. Our hearts were built to point towards God. But many times, the surrounding things in the world, other ideals, get our attraction, and our compass is not pointed in the right way. And what they did in the old days was to take those compasses up on deck, aloft from the influence of the metal hull, and then they could point in the right direction. And that's what we need to do. We need to elevate our hearts before God in His wisdom to help us get pointed in the right direction. Our hearts were built to respond to wisdom. And God created us with a capacity for wisdom so that we could hear her call and that we could return to God. The foolishness of sin and the foolishness of worldly distraction leads us astray, leads us away from God. But wisdom calls us back at the thoroughfares of life, on the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances she cries out, "To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding." Wisdom calls us to follow God, calls us to return to Him. And if God will allow us to understand and learn wisdom, then we can give that wisdom to others and allow that wisdom to call them as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, which is a book of wisdom, but more, thank you so much that you came, that you were wisdom personified to come down among us and call us back to yourself. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be wise by putting into practice the things that we learn and experiencing wisdom through life by keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.